afternoon, America. Welcome to Mark Levine's Inside Scoop on Washington, bringing you all the news from Washington, the nation's capital, that the government does not want you to know. Today, of course, is Election Day. Have you voted yet? Has everyone listening to my voice voted? If you have not voted, then what the heck are you doing listening to me? Turn off the computer, turn down the radio, get out and vote. Hey, you can listen to my archive later, all right? You need to get out to vote now before the late afternoon crowds come. So, come on. I told you, turn off that radio, turn off the computer. All right, get to the polls. You gone? All right, now the rest of us can talk. Those of you that left to go to the polls, you're now listening on the archive, and that's just fine. Everyone listening to my voice has already voted, and that's the way it should be. It's tough because the lines are extremely long, and it makes me proud. It makes me proud to be an American. I just saw the lines out today in my suburban voting place. I live in a Virginia suburb outside of Washington, D.C., and the lines were literally around the block. And I also served as an election protection, and in fact, I am proud to say that I had already voted. Now, a lot of times you get half the voters voting in the entire time, right? You know, the all Americans, about half vote normally. In my precinct, more than half voted by 12 noon. And I got a lot to talk about. I want to tell you about my experiences helping protect Americans vote. There are a lot of stories that go in to intimidate black voters. We're going to talk about that. They're doing everything they can, but I'm excited. I'm optimistic because I have seen the turnout. My friends, I've seen the turnout, not just in my suburban Virginia voting place, but in Ohio and in Florida. I've seen people waiting 6 hours in the sun for their turn to vote, knowing how important it is. And I've just got to say, I know you've done it. Everyone listening to my voice has already gone out and voted. But defend their democratic right. I know they'll take the lines as long as possible to try to encourage them to go home, but we won't do it. We won't do it. We're going to take back our democracy. We're going to stand in the lines. We're going to demand on the right to vote. I'm very excited. 24 hours from today, President-elect Kerry will... just the sound of it. Listen to it, folks. President-elect Kerry. Now, I'm sure they're going to try everything they can, but with this massive turnout, we can do it, my friends. The exit polls are already going in our direction. We can win Ohio and Florida. Ohio and Florida. And we'll... just the sound of it. Listen to it, folks. President-elect Kerry. Now, I'm sure they're going to try everything they can, but with this massive turnout, we can do it, my friends. The exit polls are already going in our direction. We can win Ohio and Florida. Ohio and Florida and Wisconsin and Iowa and New Hampshire and New Mexico. Maybe till another election. But this is an election Tuesday like no other. If you want to call in, tell me your experience. Tell me at the polls, what are you seeing? Are you seeing the long lines I'm seeing all across the nation? Are you seeing people getting out, excited, psyched up to vote? Toll free, 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP. Caller, you're on the line with Mark Levine.
Ah, you forgot. And New Jersey.
And New Jersey. Way to go, Brian. Well, I wasn't worried about New Jersey.
Well, some people are.
Yeah, well, those Republicans, they're silly. They're smart legal for themselves. Joe, and let us know how it looks from the Kerry War Room. I have seen some initial exit polls, and they're all looking good. Looking good.
Looks good, Mark. Tell me good.
Well, I'll tell you the polls I've seen. Now, this is as of 2 p.m. Now, remember, half of America is yet to vote, but it shows us ahead in Ohio and Florida. It shows it's 51-49 in Florida and 52-48 in Ohio. Now, I need to caution, these are exit polls. What that means is these are the way voters actually voted or intended to vote. As we all know, in Florida, the exit polls also showed a Gore victory because more people went to the polls in 2000 voting for Gore than for Bush, but because of the shenanigans of the officials, they discounted most of these Gore voters. But it's very tight. But the point is this, we only need Ohio or Florida. And now I know things can change. It's only 2 p.m. Eastern time. Things can change. By the way, these exit polls, 49, that can easily change. So I don't mean to be complacent here, but it's looking good. It's looking up. I'm really excited.
Well, let's just hope there's no shenanigans. And
well, there will be. In fact, one of the things I want to talk about in this show today is what's going on in Ohio, because that is the yeah, they make long lines. Yeah, they're challenging black voters, 35,000 black voters. They're going out. It's a violation of the Voting Rights Act. It was, you know, the New Jersey judge, by the way, in New Jersey, Brian, I don't know if you know about the consent decree. Did you hear about this?
I have not.
In the 1980s, Republicans went out, as they are wont to do, and specifically challenged black voters, the Republican Party, and they agreed to a consent decree. Now, a consent decree is basically where two parties are in litigation, and they agree to a settlement, but it's a settlement that you're bound by a court. It's a settlement that you can't get away from. A court can enforce it by contempt, actually, by throwing you in jail if you violate it. Okay. Well, the consent decree was that they wouldn't purposely target minority areas. Well, this judge ruled they violated the consent decree. Meanwhile, in Ohio, the lower district court judges are. One is James Ryan, appointed by Ronald Reagan, and he believes that the Ten Commandments can be posted in courtrooms. He disagrees with the Supreme Court on this. He's to the right of the United States Supreme Court. He has no problem with posting religion explicitly in our courtrooms. In fact, he wrote, quote, "The influence of religion upon American law and government is a fact of history and politics." And basically, his point is that you can have religion as part of government. John Rogers, the other judge appointed by George W. Bush, our current president, is even worse. He has urged overturning Roe v. Wade. Okay? These are radical right-wing judges, and they're making it clear. They want those Ohio observers to go in and intimidate black voters. But I'm excited because I don't think it's going to work. I think they're going to pull out all their dirty tricks. But we have one dirty or clean trick.
Did it all throughout us, and we're gonna take over. We're
that's our advantage. We have the majority. We have the numbers of Americans. And I'll tell you something. On our side of the aisle, people are excited. They are happy. They're not happy. They're not excited.
The one thing that's just that scares me or ticks me off are these absentee ballots that haven't even been mailed or were mailed yesterday and received today.
Like, yeah. And that's
just wrong. There needs to be lawsuits with that.
Well, here's the thing. It's all wrong. The 35,000 in Ohio, the 76,000 in Florida. By the way, many of them, of those in Florida, are being returned. And we know, of course, the woman that from New Jersey that flew in, they were mailed overnight. And we're going to get those in, at least a lot of them. So it actually looks like the ones that were mailed out Saturday and today were only about 3,000. So most of those were mailed out Wednesday and Thursday. There's still time to get them returned. I think all these dirty tricks are just going to fail. And that just makes me even more excited.
Me too, Mark.
All right, thanks for your call, Brian. We got others hanging on. Caller, you're on the line with Mark Levine.
Hey, Mark, it's John from New Bedford.
Hey, John, how are you feeling?
I am feeling good. We got out and went and voted early this morning. And I just want, you know, Massachusetts, okay, we're not a swing state.
I think he's going to win Massachusetts,
yeah.
John.
But I loved, my wife went in to drop one of our children off at school, and the teacher walked up to her, and instead of saying, did you vote, she said, don't vote.
What?
That's what the teacher we knew was for Bush, and she looked right at my wife, and my wife said that was the first time I just got so mad. She said, I looked at her and just said, too late.
But well, did she mean it as a joke?
No, she was dead serious.
She just...
I mean, we had not even talked politics with her. She's a good teacher and runs a good school, and we really like her a lot. And we were surprised when we actually heard she was a Bush. But that doesn't mean it can't be nice. But it was just so strange. She just looked at my wife and just said, don't vote, because she knew she was going to vote for Kerry.
Well, that's just weird to me, John. I have to say, when I've been out there at the polls, and I've been at the polls, I've been up since 4-something this morning.
Mm-hmm.
So if I sound a little incoherent, there's a reason.
No.
I've been up since 4 this morning. I got to the polls at 6. I was at the polls until 12:30, and then I got some more stories to tell. But while I was there, there were Kerry supporters, there were Bush supporters, and we were cordial to each other. I was... you know, I made it clear that my role was to help voters vote, and I never asked them who they were voting for. I just wanted to give them the right to vote. We did have some problems this morning, and I'm going to talk about some of those. But I thought we had a good relationship. In fact, I gave some of the Bush supporters my card and urged them to listen to the show, call in, and challenge me.
Well, I'm feeling very good. And if historically, if I understand correctly, more of the Democratic vote comes later in the day.
Wow.
If that's what I was reading.
If that's true, then we got a landslide, buddy.
And I'm feeling really good. Like you said, it's like it's all this anger, and I've been listening to you since you first came on and off. And
yeah, you've been around from, I think, my first show, I think you heard, huh?
Yeah, and I just remember that anger that's been in me that I've had to keep quietly, and like you said, no one's going to take it.
After all that we went through as Americans in the Civil War, in the Civil Rights era, in the Jim Crow era, to go out in majority black neighborhoods, mm-hmm. and to try to intimidate voters, you shouldn't intimidate voters anywhere, period. I mean, I don't care, Democrat, Republican, you know, it's just wrong. But to specifically go out to black neighborhoods after this extraordinary racist history that we have,
it
sticks in the craw. And I got to tell you, I don't think it gives them any votes. Because for every voter they challenge, and for every time they make the line an hour long, 2 hours long, mm-hmm. I think they make 5-10 voters more angry.
Yeah, you make them angry. And I know you've got a lot to say. I wanted to add one thing. My wife was reading the computer, and she was just like, John, I said, they're going to steal it again. I just know it.
They're trying.
And I said, honey, picture 2,000 or 3,000 female and male Mark Levines out there outing them. And I said, they're not going to get away.
We are watching them. Our army of lawyers is out there. We are watching them. We're making sure. Hey, thanks.
Keep it up.
Thanks for your call, John. I appreciate it.
Bye.
And if I figured it out correctly, this should be Chad Clanton. Are you there, sir?
Yes, sir. It's good to be with you.
Now, Chad, you work with the Kerry campaign.
I do. We're in the war room today, and we're looking at a very particular...
Appreciate it.
Bye.
And if I figured it out correctly, this should be Chad Clanton. Are you there, sir?
Yes, sir. It's good to be with you.
Now, Chad, you work with the Kerry campaign.
I do. We're in the war room today, and we're looking at a very... Particularly after the failed policies of this president, people are really eager to get a fresh start.
Now, give us a little secret. I don't know if you're allowed to talk about it, but I've been looking on the Internet, and they're not supposed to mention exit polls, but I saw exit polls as of 2 p.m. showing Kerry up in Florida 51-49 and up in Ohio 52-48. Are you allowed to talk about that?
Well, I mean, I think there's a lot of that stuff. I'm also excited that the process seems to be going very well. We'd heard a lot of talk about, this or this might happen or whatever, and the fact of the matter is we're getting reports from all over the country that things are going smoothly, that people are lining up to vote. They're being patient when there's a line. And let me just assure you, people are not standing in line to vote for more of the same, okay? So we're very encouraged by that. And I just think that it's one of the most important elections in our lifetime.
What are Democrats doing to keep them from intimidating black voters and making the lines long in minority communities?
Well, first of all, a lot of that's been talk. There really are no serious challenges going on right now. There has been accusations, I just think that it's one of the most important elections in our lifetime.
What are Democrats doing to keep them from intimidating black voters and making the lines long in minority communities?
Well, first of all, a lot of that's been talk. There really are no serious challenges going on right now. There has been accusations fly after precinct. It's a very orderly process, one that seems to be going smoothly. And America really is at its best when people are voting, when people are making their voice heard. And I think that's what we're seeing today.
Well, I agree. That's
going smoothly. And America really is at its best when people are voting, when people are making their voice heard. And I think that's what we're seeing today.
Well, I agree. That's really good news. I was particularly concerned about Ohio. I know that there's that list of 35,000 mostly black voters. Do we know, do you have any reports on whether they're challenging them or...
No, I haven't heard the
last. The Kerry campaign does have people, I'm sure, all over Ohio and Florida watching every precinct to make sure that people are allowed to vote.
Yeah, absolutely. The simple message here is go to vote today. If you encounter a line, be patient. Bring a cold drink or lemonade, whatever, to sip on while you're in line. And know that we're just getting reports from the state and tallying with PATH. So that obviously is very encouraging news for us. And it's something that we monitor to make sure that our get out the vote operation is going well. And that,
are you on a speakerphone or?
No, I'm just on a runner. Well, let me say that there's actually some facts behind that. If you look at 2000, when the exit polls were coming in for Al Gore, they ramped up exactly as you suggest as the day went on. Why? Because the middle class and working people that traditionally vote Democrat come out after work, come out after work. And we haven't even gotten to that period. So, you know, let me speak directly to everyone listening today. If you haven't voted, please run, don't walk, to your nearest polling place. Vote for John Kerry. Vote for that fresh start. Every vote is going to be important here.
Teetering, still wondering, what's the one message to get them out to vote?
It all boils down to this. Do you want a fresh start with John Kerry, or do you want more of the same failed policies from President Bush? That's our case. That's the simple choice, that we need a president who can do two things: defend America and stand up for the middle class. That's what John Kerry will do. We're going to do something about these record job losses, these sky-high health care costs. And until we elect a new president with new credibility and new policies, it's going to be really tough to do that.
Okay, we have to go to commercial break. Chad, are you able to stay after the break? Or you may have to go back to the war room. I don't know. Back after this.
No longer offshoring our middle-class jobs. It seems that they've grown afraid of the rising public anger, bottom lines, at the expense of working families. They fear that there will be a political backlash from workers, customers, Congress, and plain old American patriots. Does this mean that greed-headed CEOs are no longer shipping our manufacturing, professional, and high-tech jobs to India, Pakistan, Russia, and other low-wage centers? Of course not. It simply means that they no longer say the word offshoring. Instead, the doublespeak artists of corporate PR departments have coined new euphemism, or right-shoring, to disguise the perfidy. A new report finds that offshoring, by whatever name, is not only continuing unabated, but accelerating rapidly and expanding into new fields. If you're an architect, if you do legal work or tax preparation, if you're an editor or radiologist, say bye-bye to your professional position. For CEOs are putting these and many more on a virtual boat overseas, with about 80% of the jobs going to India, where they can get the work done. Prepared by Forrester Research, says that offshoring is increasing dramatically. Forrester's previous prediction was that the U.S. would lose 588,000 jobs to offshoring by the end of this year. Now it estimates that 830,000 will be lost, a 41% increase. Nearly half of corporations surveyed say they're either offshoring jobs now or preparing to. Well, says one offshoring specialist, so can to make money. Yeah, and so are bank robbers. This is Jim Hightower saying the proper word for what these CEOs are doing is not offshoring, it's stealing. They're stealing America's middle-class future.
What if I told you that you could get cash back from your federal student loans? No, really. You can receive up to $1,000 cash rebate just for making your first 6 payments on time. Introducing College Loan Corporation's Reward. Now you can save up to 50% on your monthly payments. Lock in the lowest interest rates in history.
Pfizer and Viagra Sildenafil Citrate.
So this morning, I'm looking into my shaving mirror. My wife's still in bed. And this guy is staring back at me with a mischievous glint in his eye. He looks familiar. So I say, Wild Thing? Is that you? You're back.
Not all medications are for everyone, so consult with your doctor first. Then ask if Viagra is right for you. To learn more, visit Viagra.com.
It's about the middle class, but the giant corporations get all the cash. We got a $500 billion deficit. It's time to make the Republicans quit.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. That is Special Election Day Music by Donnie Daly. Kick out the Republicans. It's time to make the Republicans quit. This is, of course, Election Day. If you haven't voted, what are you doing listening to me? Get out and vote. You can listen to the archive later on the Internet, but get out and vote. My guest is Chad Clinton. He is right now in the Kerry War Room, and we really appreciate your taking the time out this Election Day and speaking with us, Chad. Chad, you there? I'm not sure where Chad went. Oh, well. We appreciate the time that he could spend with us when he did. And maybe he'll get back on a little bit later. In any case, Well, Chad, we lost him. I want to talk more about what's going on. Chad probably had to get back. Listen, if they're busy trying to get out voters in Ohio or Florida, that's far more important than talking to us. I really appreciate the time that he could spend. I want to read some of the things that you're writing on the Internet, and I want to tell you about my stories about what I did this morning in my suburban voting place. First, let's go right to the Internet. We've got James. James writes, I voted today in the Hanging Chad land of Ohio and had absolutely no problems. I heard there was a long line in the morning, but me and my wife walked right in at 10 o'clock. Punch card ballots are horrible, though. I don't understand how and why they could not get these replaced. Well, James, first of all, my experience was the same. Working as an election attorney at this polling place in Virginia, when it opened at 6 a.m., the line was literally around the block at 6 in the morning, and it didn't let up at 6, at 7, at 8, at 9. There were hundreds of people. By the time we got to 10 o'clock, the crowd had pretty much gone away, and by 11 and 12, it was fairly empty. I think people were just angry, and they wanted to get out there and vote early and, you know, get it all going. But in any case, so what I saw was the same thing that you saw, I think. I saw a large crowd early in the morning, and then the crowd petered out by the middle of the day. You asked why it is that Ohio still has these punch card ballots. Well, the answer is Ohio planned to replace the ballots. They actually were expecting $60 million from the federal government to replace the punch card ballots. But guess who didn't fund it? The Republican Congress. It would have cost $60 million. Now, we're spending $225 billion in Iraq. So that's roughly 30,000, if I've done my math right. No, yeah, wait, 3,000? No. Yeah, 3,000. It's 3,000 times the cost in Iraq of the cost of fixing those punch card ballots. But, James, our Congress has their priorities straight. The Republicans' Congress do not want modern ballots. They do not want, frankly, forget modern ballots. We could use paper ballots, the kind they use in third world countries that count elections. They want to keep these punch cards because you know how it works. In poorer communities, you have more errors in the punch card ballots, and that leads to more Republicans. So if you want to know why you still have punch card ballots in Ohio, the answer is clear. It's the Republican Congress. And if we kick out the Republicans, we might get a fairer voting system. Skip writes, he's listening to the show he listened to last night, and that the $100 salary for the Republican vote disruptors reminds me of the rates paid to the mercenaries in Iraq. I wonder if our torture chambers in Iraq are undermanned these days. James writes, I'm giddy with anticipation. All news sources are talking about huge turnouts, estimates about 120 million voters. I think this is a great sign for Kerry. It's an incredible sign, James. We had 100 million voters, 100 million voters in the Gore-Bush race, which actually, if you recall, was up. It was up from the Clinton years because it was such a close race. We had a pretty outstanding turnout for recent times in 2000. If you're right, James, that we're getting 120 million voters, that is a 20% increase. That is a massive, massive turnout for John Kerry. Nathan writes, Mark, you keep saying the purpose of the challengers is to intimidate black voters. That's simply not the case. When you look at the registration issues we've had here in Ohio, it makes a lot of sense to challenge questionable registrations, especially since Ohio doesn't require an ID to vote. Nathan writes, I'm against intimidation like everyone else. I think it's terrible what happened in South Dakota, but I do see a need for challengers in Ohio. You'll notice the Sixth Circuit said each poll can have one challenger from each party. That being said, there were no challengers to be found in the poll when I went to vote this morning. Well, Nathan, my guess is you don't live and vote in a majority black precinct, and that's probably why you didn't see the challengers there. You tell me that it's not to intimidate black voters. Well, you know, I understand its purpose is to keep voting down. Now, you may not call that intimidation. You can call it whatever you want. But the purpose is to gummy up the works. The purpose is to make the lines long, to go in there. And, you know, we have poll workers, right? That's what they're there for. If people disagree with a specific registration, they can challenge it long before the election. I don't think it's a good idea. Let me give you an example, Nathan, and maybe this will make it come clear, of a woman that I helped vote today in Virginia. This is a woman who was going to be denied the right to vote. but was given that right to vote. I'm very proud of it. By the way, if Kerry wins by one vote in Virginia, I get all the credit. All the credit. Let me tell you what happened today. I had a woman come and tried to vote. She wasn't allowed to vote. And she wasn't on the voter rolls. So she considered, we talked about casting a provisional ballot, but instead I talked with her, found out what it was all about. She had registered just in September. She was an elderly black woman. Not that it should matter. I would help any voter vote. But she registered in September. She had someone help her register, but that person, whoever it was that helped her, didn't fill out the form right. They didn't put her Social Security number on the form. I talked to the registrar. Luckily, I got through. I'm very excited about that. I know in Florida in 2000, if you tried to call the registrar, you couldn't get through. All the lines were busy. But kudos to the government of Virginia. They were there. We have a Democratic governor in Virginia, but I'm not, you know, I don't know if that's the reason or not, but they were there. Their lines were working on Election Day. I talked with them. They talked with the voter. They found out her Social Security number, and lo and behold, they let her vote. And I was very excited, and she was extremely excited. She really wanted to vote. She thought she was going to be able to vote. She was turned away at the polls. It wasn't even a provisional ballot. She got the right to vote. And, you know, that alone made my day today. Just the fact that this person who would not have gotten to vote got a vote, I'm really excited about it. And I just think, Nathan, at the end of the day, we have to err on letting people vote. Look, this woman, you could say technically she shouldn't vote. She didn't fill in her Social Security number on the voter registration rolls. We know, for example, that 10,000 voters in Florida were not allowed to vote because they didn't check the box that said that they were a citizen. They signed that they were a citizen, but they didn't check the box as well. And I just wonder what all these technicalities are for. What is the purpose of all these technicalities? All right? If someone really is a citizen, if someone really has a Social Security number, why are we keeping people from voting? Voting shouldn't be like a test, right? It shouldn't be like, oh, you have to pass the test. Voting is a basic right of citizenship. And I, you know, this woman was not trying to cheat. She wasn't trying to commit fraud. What do people think is going on with these registrations? Who are they challenging? Are they suggesting that these people that signed the registration cards are lying, that they're not Ohio residents? I mean, what really is going on here? And Nathan, the other problem I have is that they're not in Republican areas. I mean, Democrats are not challenging them in Republican areas. Maybe you think they should. Right, Nathan? Maybe you think the Democrats need to go in and massively challenge Republican voters and get them all angry. I don't think we should. I think we should err on the side of the voter. We have all kinds of guarantees in place. You can sign an affidavit that you are the person you say you are. People remember. You sign an affidavit. People remember if you come in and try to vote again. And we're going to try to come in and vote on another name. How will you know that that person hasn't already voted? I think, Nathan, at the end of the day, we've got to err on the side of democracy. I'm going to take another commercial break. If you want to call in and tell me your Election Day experience, please feel free to call in. There's a lot more of the Inside Scoop coming up right after these messages. Couldn't take the rejection. They counted the votes in a web of deception. The GOP stole the election.
Governor Jeb Bush is out to make his state of Florida the next Florida. In 2000, Jeb used such crude political tactics as illegally purging voter lists to help engineer his brother's 537-vote victory in that election. And now, here he goes again. As one peer of Florida's GOP establishment candidly puts it, a Democrat can't win a statewide election in Florida without a high turnout of African Americans. It's no secret that the name of the game for Republicans is to restrain that turnout as much as possible. The Orlando League of Voters can attest to that. This African American civic group has played a big role in turning Orlando from a Republican stronghold into a city that increasingly votes Democratic. Their reward for getting involved in the democratic process is to have Jeb Bush's state police suddenly come knock, knock, knocking on the doors of some 50 of the league's grassroots leaders. these leaders, mostly elderly black women, find it frightening to be confronted in their homes by armed troopers interrogating them about their electoral participation. They're not charged with any crime. Instead, police say they're investigating vague allegations that some voter fraud might have occurred in this spring's mayoral election. Yet Jeb's own state police honcho wrote in a May letter that, quote, there was no basis to support the allegations, and he declared this matter closed. But it has not closed. Police now say the chief's letter was poorly worded, and the intimidating in-home interrogations continued this summer as the presidential election heated up. Jeb's police action is creating a blanket of fear among the league's volunteers who worry that their perfectly legal efforts will land them in jail. This is Jim Hightower saying, of course Jeb says that there's no political motive involved, but when asked how long the Orlando investigation will go on, police say it might continue right through November 2nd.
What if I told you that you could get cash back from your federal student loans? No, really. You can receive up to $1,000 cash rebate just for making your first six payments on time. Introducing College Loan Corporation's Reward. Now you can save up to 50% on your monthly payments, lock in the lowest interest rates in history, and you may be able to earn a significant rebate. That's cold hard cash in your pocket. To take advantage of this amazing offer, call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
Ever wonder who coined the phrase, we eliminate the middleman? Well, one thing's pretty certain. It wasn't the middleman. And how did they eliminate him? Something fishy there. But I digress. GEICO pioneered direct-to-consumer car insurance over 65 years ago, and they've been saving smart drivers money ever since. Give them a call, and you might ask them, what did they do with the middleman?
GEICO's customer satisfaction stands at 97%. How would you rate your car insurance company? GEICO, 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
And where are the weapons of mass destruction?
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine, all energized, full of adrenaline on Election Day, prelude to a terrific Kerry victory. I'm encouraged to see that there are not major reports of what's going on in Ohio. I was very concerned about that. And we'll just see. We'll see how it goes. I'm really upset by the Sixth Circuit ruling, but hopefully it will not be a major problem. And, of course, the exit polls are showing that we so far are winning. Actually, Nell writes a very interesting thing. She writes that, Mark, better the punch machines in Ohio than the Diebold machines. San Diego County, she's writing from San Diego, bought the Diebold machines. California investigated them, and they were considered extremely unreliable. So we used punch cards again. Again, I'd prefer paper ballot or scan because the exit polls are so accurate, except in Florida where the votes are stolen. We could have the results on the nightly news, and then the ballots could be counted throughout the week. I enjoy the show. The exit polls are energizing. I think Nell makes a good point. You know, when we have these exit polls, and remember, they showed Gore winning Florida, these same exit polls, it will be very interesting to differ from the exit polls if these things wait all week as they're counting provisional ballots and so forth. You know, exit polls are different from regular polls. Let me be clear. The regular polls, they've been all over the map. Frankly, these last few days, they've just been crazy. I hardly know how to read them. Now, Bush would be up 6 points in one state and then Kerry up 8 points the next day. That just doesn't make sense. I think people are lying to pollsters, and that's probably just as well. I mean, too much is decided on the basis of polls. But exit polls, remember, are a lot more accurate. These are people who have actually voted and are leaving the polling place. These aren't people who may vote, who might consider voting. These aren't people who, you know, we're not going to reach the people with cell phones or we're going to reach people at home more. No, these are actually taken at the polls, and they tend to be very accurate. And, you know, I'm hopeful. Don't want to count my chickens before they're hatched, but I am very hopeful. James writes, I wouldn't have a problem with people checking to ensure that people are registered, but why should they be partisan? Why would you have Republican challengers? If there's really a fraud problem, why not have state officials present? Oh, wait, they already are. Yeah, I just think it turns citizen against citizen. Brian writes, I wonder what kind of bender Bush is going to go on when he loses tonight. You know, I remember, Brian, in 2000 when Bush lost. He, after the votes were called in Pennsylvania and Florida for Gore, and it was clear that he was going to lose, he canceled his victory celebration, ran home to, I think it was Dallas at the time. I don't think it was Crawford. But I remember he canceled all his public celebrations, and he looked very angry and very upset. And, you know, this is a guy who has a history of it. I mean, this is a guy who at Yale punched a guy out because he got angry about losing a game and, you know, knocked his victory celebration, ran home to, I think it was Dallas at the time. I don't think it was Crawford. But I remember he canceled all his public celebrations, and he looked very angry and very upset. And, you know, this is a guy who has a history of it. I mean, this is a guy who at Yale punched a guy out because he got angry about losing a game and, you know, knocked down some goalposts. He's got a really bad history with a bad temper. We'll see if he's a sore loser or not. I think probably he will be. Rex writes, at my polling place and at another that I drove by, is this legal? Great question, Rex. There is a certain area around that polling place where you're not allowed to post partisan signs. In Virginia, it's 40 feet. Some places it might be 50 feet, even 100 feet or 10 feet. You can't post any signs right next to the polling place. Just outside that line, you can post as many signs as you want. So if a bunch of people posted W signs, that's their right. And I say, Rex, you need to rectify the problem. You need to go out and get a bunch of carry signs and post them right there, Pete, before reporting to you. I want to talk about a few other things, though. There are a number of issues that are going on here. We have the Electoral College, of course. And the Electoral College is a mess, right? I mean, the Electoral College could turn out very differently from the popular vote. Now, I actually think it wasn't a problem in 2000 because Gore actually won Florida by tens of thousands. So the system often works. I do think it's interesting, though, that even if we go based on the polls and not based on the turnout, if we go based on the polls, we find that in the national polls, George Bush is actually doing a lot better. Well, I don't want to say that. It's about tied. It's about tied in the national polls. But John Kerry is doing better in the battleground states because Kerry has been focusing his advertising and so forth in primarily the battleground states, and Bush has much more money than Kerry, and so he's focused it there, and he's done some national work. So I don't think this is going to happen. I think the huge turnout is going to mean a Kerry victory. But let's just say, hypothetically, it'd be interesting, if the popular vote went for Bush and the electoral vote went for John Kerry. Of course, John Kerry would be elected president. The interesting thing about that, though, is that then you would have a bunch of Republicans upset, and right then and there we probably could finally get rid of the Electoral College. Let me encourage you to call in. I'm getting lots of blog entries, not too many calls now. The toll-free number is 877-57-SCOOP. I appreciate your calls. 877-57-SCOOP. In the last days of the campaign, we've seen a lot of weird stuff going on. We've seen Republicans with ads saying the Democrats are going to take away your Bibles. That's been in Arkansas and West Virginia, Missouri. Do you think anybody buys those ads? I mean, does anyone believe this kind of crap? Or is it that they're actually convincing people? They're actually convincing people not to go to the polls. I don't know, but I'll tell you, I heard a commercial. I was on the radio this morning in Albuquerque, New Mexico, where I debate a conservative every Tuesday morning. And I did it from the polls. And I heard a commercial, a Bush commercial, on that Albuquerque radio station. Now, New Mexico, of course, is very much a swing state. And in that commercial, I heard a clear Bush lie that really, really offended me. He said it was one of those 15-second spots where they said, John Kerry is blaming the loss of explosives on our troops rather than on the terrorists. This is George Bush. You know, I approve this message. What gall. What chutzpah. Can you believe he said that? Here it is. Bush didn't order the troops to remove the explosives. The explosives, the troops tell us, were there. They went in. They weren't told to remove them, and they left. George Bush didn't order them to remove the explosives. Now, already, Mayor Giuliani's blaming the troops. Mayor Giuliani's saying, oh, well, the troops maybe should have removed them. No. Maybe they should have gotten the orders to remove them. They were told, you find one little vial of mustard gas that's, you know, maybe could kill one person if he digests it because it's 15 years old. And that's what they were told to look for, not these high-grade conventional explosives. It is not the troops' fault. And then what do I hear? I hear a Bush ad saying, Kerry says it's the troops' fault when it's the terrorists' fault. Is anybody believing this nonsense? Caller, you on the air with Mark Levine.
Well, Mark, it's Dave in California, and today I'm able to get through, but every 2 or 3 minutes I get kicked off the radio. But
I'm not sure why that's happening, but go ahead, make your comment. You got a comment? Have you voted today?
I'm convinced that we have some high-tech hackers that violate every law of the Patriot Act, but they just, wherever they choose, they invade people's computers. In my particular case, I'd blown the whistle on a major corporate corruption thing, and they've been with me ever since. And I've also become convinced that the new Pearl Harbor story there, that 9/11, it couldn't have happened without an awful lot of cooperation from our government. So that's only intensified the problems that I have with them. I'm convinced that these are the same folks that are going to be visiting our voting machines today, and I sent you a message on that. Did you get it?
Yeah, I did get your message. I did. It was long. It's hard for me sometimes when I'm on the radio to read the longer comments on the air.
Oh, well, I wouldn't have expected you to, and I didn't even know because I'm literally, if I can bring you up, I have to go recycle my computer now, start over again to bring you up, and 3 minutes later I'll be kicked off. So.
Well, I'll tell you, you're not the only, sometimes, Dave, you're the only ones having the problem. I have gotten some entries on the blog saying there is a problem today. I apologize for that. I don't know what's causing it.
Well, it may well be that it's at your end as well, too, because these guys, they have no ethics. They just, you know, if they don't like what's going out over the air or being received, they're not beneath kicking it off.
I you know, it could happen. I know, for example, the electoral-vote.com site has been hacked repeatedly. It's the site that's predicting a very close race, but a Kerry victory. But you know, I guess
you don't want to be paranoid,
Dave. I don't think I'm a big enough fish for them to go after me yet. But I guess I hope that one day I will be. So.
Be at least a little bit paranoid.
Fair enough. Even there's an old saying: even paranoiacs have enemies.
Yes, indeed. I had one suggestion, a thought. It may be crazy, but it is that. Today would be a wonderful day for everybody that has an internet computer to visit all kinds of crazy places like government of Cuba or the embassy of China or whatever that will trigger and actually get the FBI doing what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to pay attention. What is this guy trying to do? And maybe you can keep him out of the voting machines for a while.
I don't know, Dave. That's a risky strategy, but I understand where you're coming from. I appreciate your call.
Got to save the country, brother.
Yeah, and I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good today. I may come up tomorrow, and I may be depressed and drunk on the air, but I'm feeling good. I feel like we're going to make it.
Yeah, I do too, but I know that, you know, it's going to have to be an overwhelming Kerry victory.
But we're getting it.
To be a squeaker.
But we're getting it.
They're doing every trick they can come up with.
But we're getting it. Did you see those lines in Florida, Dave?
Oh, yes. Yes, indeed, I do. And those are all the Democratic lines. The Republicans get to walk in and vote at will, you know. Their precincts are a different kind of
But, you know, people are staying in. They're not giving up. I have so much hope for this country by what I've seen today. And like I said, I may just be high on lack of sleep, but I'm really excited.
Try to get them off the computers. That's the thing.
All right. I think that issue is probably beyond my pay grade. But thanks very much for your call, Dave. I appreciate it. Caller, you're on the air with Mark Levine.
This is Gordon from Michigan.
Oh, my God, he has a name.
Yes, I'm so confident. I have been able to throw my number away, and I am actually have a name now.
Well, you know, I hope you get to keep that name tomorrow. You know, otherwise...
I have my ticket for Bora Bora. And I'll probably painting coconut George Bush effigies.
Yeah, better Bora Bora than Tora Bora.
Yes.
Definitely.
I think Osama has left Bora Bora and headed back to the Tora Bora for his due.
Tell me, Gordon, in Michigan, now some people, I've always called that for Kerry. I haven't really been worried about it, but some Republicans are suggesting it could be a swing state. What did you see when you went to vote this morning?
Well, okay, I'm sort of on the cusp here because rural Michigan is traditionally Republican, and of course Detroit and southeastern Michigan is traditionally Democratic. In my little burg, well, we had a good turnout, and we're still coming out, and it's hard to say, but I think it's as far as my district is concerned, we're going Democratic, and we have a lot of backlash from our specific representative. She was heavy Bush supporter, and Michigan, we have two senators who voted against the initial giving Bush the authority to go into Iraq. And I think, I don't know if it's true, I think you contradict me on this, but I know Levin was against it and Stabenow was against it, and you said that only one senator had voted against it. I think two senators did, and they're both in Michigan.
No, they voted against the war in Iraq?
They voted against the initial authority.
No. There were a number that voted against the initial authority, probably half the Democrats. No, there was only one senator that voted against the Patriot Act, and I don't know if you confused the two. That was Senator Russ Feingold. I think about half the Democrats voted against giving authority to...
I don't know what bill I'm talking about. But,
yeah, it may have been the Patriot Act. Only one senator voted against the Patriot Act.
But we have one of these watchers or monitors.
Yeah.
And this kid was, it looked like a college kid, maybe a little out of college, a white guy.
Maybe it was Tom Robbins.
Black, west, northwest, he was going to mouth off.
Yeah, what happened?
And, well, 20 minutes later, yada, 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 he was being hauled up by black police in handcuffs.
Wow.
And
I guess he caused a disturbance at the polling place.
Well, at least that, but he was claiming his rights. But I would think Republicans would at least have enough sense to try to send...
Gordon. There aren't enough black Republicans to send out into black precincts. I think that's the case. I don't think there are enough.
Is, but even for $100 an hour, you wouldn't catch me doing that kind of duty.
No, definitely not. Thanks for your call, Gordon. I appreciate it. There are a couple things I want to mention. With all this stuff, all the people that they're trying to keep out, you know, in addition to the rule that says that if you want to vote outside your precinct, you lose your right to vote. Now, they say, well, that's all for orderly elections, and you should vote in your precinct. And I understand that, and most people do vote in their precinct. But in this case, it's a way. It happened to be in a different precinct. Same city in Virginia, same town, same member of Congress, same ballot, precisely the same ballot. There wasn't a single difference between those two precincts. And she stood in line for over an hour. She went in to vote and was told that she wasn't on the voting rolls. She was on the voting rolls of this other precinct. And she said, look, I got to get to work. I have to go. And they didn't let her vote. They didn't let her vote. I encouraged her to cast a provisional ballot. She did. I'm concerned that that ballot won't be counted. But I don't understand this kind of again, using technical reasons to deny people the right to vote. When I was election attorney in California, senator of California, how does it make a difference? If you're in a different part of the state, why should you lose your right to vote? And don't tell me, oh, it's too complicated. It's not too complicated. All you do is you check off that person in their computers, and then they can't vote again. It's not that complicated. Look at what we do electronically. ATM residency laws, they're looking to stop people from voting in the wrong precincts. They're trying to stop students from voting. A lot of them are in, you know, from one place and want to vote in their hometown. And yet, it's very interesting. Dick Cheney was allowed to change his residency without at all a problem when he ran for president in 2000. Why is this important? Well, the 12th Amendment to the United States Constitution, this is a constitutional question, not a legislative question, says it must be from two different states. Well, Dick Cheney lived in Texas, along with George W. Bush, for many, many years. And then, just before he ran as vice president, he quickly found a hotel room in Wyoming and changed his residency. Now, you know, I wouldn't complain about technical requirements. But if we're going to impose technical requirements on all these voters, where you can't even vote two streets away from where you live, you can't vote elsewhere in the same state, then shouldn't we at least impose the constitutional requirement that the vice president not be from the same state as the president? I actually, when I worked on the brief to challenge the Florida electors for challenging Cheney based on his residence, but we decided that the Florida, but they never go against the vice president. When you are watching tonight, the networks have said that they will not announce a race until after the polls close. And I guess I don't really have a problem with that. I think that's a good idea. I do think it's overstated what happened in 2000. A lot of the Republicans, when they hear Democrats complaining about what happened in Florida, they say, well, wait a minute. You know, we have a complaint, too. Florida polls were most of it, the whole peninsula, is in the Eastern time zone. And a small part of it, the Panhandle, which tends to be the Republican counties, is in the Central time zone. Now, of course, Florida could solve its problem easy and just make polls close at the same time in both time zones. But they don't do that. Fine, they don't have to. If you look at what time the networks called Florida for Al Gore, the time was 7 minutes before the polls closed. Now, are the Republicans really saying that someone was driving on their way to vote, was going to get there in that seven-minute window, heard it on the radio, and then turned around? There may be a few of those voters. I can't think much. People make you think, oh, well, Florida was called, you know, an hour early. No, it was called 7 minutes early, and I'm not defending it. But I would think that anyone who was going to vote that day would be in line. I mean, where did they get, did people carry their radios in line? I don't think so. They would have heard that the polls were closed, and only if they'd already voted or hadn't intended to vote. So I think it's a pretty flimsy issue. But based on that issue, all the networks have said that they're not going to call a state till the polls close. That's fine. My point, though, is this. Can anyone remember back to the election of 1980? In 1980, they called all the states in the West. They called all the states in the East, I think, before the Western states closed. Jimmy Carter actually conceded the race in 1980 before the states in the West closed their polls. Now, this was a massive problem. This wasn't 7 minutes early in Florida. This was a massive problem, and the networks, they didn't change their standards. But when they're 7 minutes early in Florida and Republicans complain, well, they change their standards. In any case, I'm glad they are, and I hope you're doing like what I'm doing tonight. I've got a big map of the United States with the Electoral College. I'm going to fill them in blue and red myself. I've done this every 4 years, and I'm real excited about the possibility. You know, there's so many stories that don't ever get told, that people going out to vote don't even know about. They don't even know that the person that is the great connection between Osama bin Laden and Iraq, according to Republicans, this terrorist named Zarqawi, they don't know that not only was he not under the Saddam Hussein part of Iraq and the Kurdish part, but also that George Bush was offered Zarqawi on a silver platter and refused to take him down. If you want to know more about that, I want to encourage you to go back into my archive and click on it. I haven't had a chance to talk a lot about it. I did want to throw that out there. But the thing about that issue is that Zarqawi was used as a pretext for war. Bush didn't want to take him out, the Wall Street Journal argues, no liberal newspaper, because Bush wanted to use him as a pretext. And, of course, that led to the war in Iraq being helping them in the 2002 election. I think people see through Bush now. I think they realize that it is just a pretext, that these things aren't true, that the world does hate us, that it is time for a difference. And I got a caller on the line. Caller, you got 30 seconds before we got to hang up. You there?
Hey, Mark. I just want to wish our country good luck, and thank you so much. If we do eke out a victory, you know, or a landslide, which is what it's going to take to get a victory because of the cheating, you are a big part of that.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. I'll tell you, I'm worn out. I got a headache. I've been up since 4. I'm going to be up all night tonight. I'm running on pure adrenaline, but I am excited. I really feel like, as they said after Watergate, the long national nightmare is just about over. And I think historians will look back on the one-term presidency of George W. Bush, and they'll remark on the fact that every single president in our nation's history who, and there are three of them, that Bush was the fourth, who became president without winning the popular vote, every one of them only served one term. And I think that is an important historical thing to keep going, because people need to, it's the problem with our electoral system. I think there is always going to be a backlash and anger against a president who is not legitimately elected, and it will be great to finally remove this stain on the nation's honor. Thanks for your call. That's all the time we have now. I'm going to I got to watch the TV, right? I got to turn on the channel. I got to look at all the polls. I got to get out my maps. I got to get ready for Election Day. If for some silly reason you haven't voted, then get out there now and vote. We'll be watching the election returns together. If you want to make comments on my website during the election returns, feel free. We can talk to each other a little bit. And hopefully tomorrow, I'll be up all night. I'll be a wreck. But I'll be elated in celebration of President-elect John Kerry. That's all for the Inside Scoop. this is the last time you're going to hear the special Kick Out the Republican song. Let me just end with a quote by John Kerry, my personal favorite. Don't love your country, right or wrong. That's like loving your mother, drunk or sober. Love your country when it's right, and when it's wrong, put it right. This is Mark Levine signing off.